Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. I want to welcome you to our audience, our Christian Television Network audience, our WHBR CTN audience on the Gulf Coast, and don't forget
every weekday, Monday through Friday,
and 24 hours a day on VFN Radio. It's amazing what's happening and what God is doing, but it's thanks to our sponsors and our partners, and it's exciting. The best days are ahead.
Oh, yes, they are.
And good things are in store. God's got some awesome things in store that he's been sharing with us and some others that we're seeing, and a great outpouring of his love is about to come, and I believe it's going to be the glory zone. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah.
The glory zone, and it's for everyone. And when God moves, it's like, just, you know, move in. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
How's things going, man?
Going good.
Doing good.
How about you?
Doing good. Doing good.
That's good. Sure?
Yes.
Okay. Good.
Absolutely.
Just checking.
That look was like, so John,
exactly.
So how are you doing?
We are learning. Because
somebody's
right.
See, the thing is, John, somebody wrote and said, you know, give Pat more airtime. It's like, we just did.
There it is. There you have it.
There we go. We just did it. See, we gave him some airtime.
Listen closely.
That was good. It was like, yep.
Yep.
Then John Ramos.
Hello.
How's it going, man?
Hey, I'm doing great, Pat. Greg, I'm doing really good.
Are you done?
I am. I'm excited.
Well, yeah, if you miss our last program, if you want to, I mean, that you can be so encouraged, beginning to see what we got, getting back to the business plan of God, the Father's business, and understanding that, you know, love is what holds all things together, and it'll really, I think, encourage you. It may challenge you, but it may relieve you if everything that's hindering love in your life, you're finding out, even though it's religious, it's not right for you. I mean, if it hinders the very thing that God wants you to do, he says, love each other. By this, the world will know that you're my disciples, if you love each other. I mean, he doesn't say, like, you know, build something.
Right.
He says, love each other. And that's why you also see that there's a lot of things that the enemy sows, like lies, doubt, fears, bondage, things that cause people that hinders love. You know, one of our prayers is that, you know, in our prayer community, we have a prayer community and we got this part of this prayer from Mike Bickle and the IHOP Kansas City prayer, where they do 24-hour prayer, is, you know, Lord, remove everything that hinders love.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you're finished, you're hoping you're still there. You know what I'm saying? Like, right.
Okay, Lord.
We had one man that prayed that. I ain't seen him since.
No.
He's gone.
Man, the Lord showed me specifically. We're going to be talking about this. This is the anniversary time of the Six-Day War in 1967, where Israel had to fight for her existence in 1967, and it's been 40 years since this 1967, right? That'd be 40 years. And count that up for us. And
or not.
And so
he'll get back with us.
Yeah, go.
While you're asking me. Okay.
Yes, count that up if you would. And this is the anniversary, and these are key words that were said during that time when
47 years.
Yeah, 47 years. I'm at 50. It's about to hit. That when they finally got to Jerusalem to take the city, and they got to the Temple Mount, do you hear these words come over the radio? I believe it says, the Temple Mount is in our hands.
Wow.
See, in 1967, Israel took it all over. But if you'll notice, it's not under their control because they gave it back. They gave all the stuff back. The only reason they took it over was so that they could survive and not be killed.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, those things, it's interesting. If you're standing with God, even though people come against you, they will, in the end, you know, lose in that context. So it's about to be a big land grab, as Pastor John Kilpatrick in Daphne, Alabama, we had some of his stuff on recently about this prophetic, you know, it's about to be a big land grab as these Arab nations, you know, try to gather against Israel. God's going to gather some property back.
Yes, he is.
Yeah. And so we'll be talking today about a source Do you look at people as a source or a soul? We began this conversation and wanted to talk about it in our earlier program, but we did not get a chance to talk about it. So hopefully this program we get a chance to talk about it, because it's so important when you think about that having the wrong perspective can be eternally dangerous. I mean, the most important thing in your life is what you think about God. Mm. I mean, do you think about him at all? Do you think he's a carpenter? Do you think he's a teacher? Do you think he's the Son of God? Do you think he's the forgiver of your sins? Do you think he's the only way to God? Do you think that he's just a religious figure? Or do you think that he is God's solution for destruction that we're born into? And the only way to get off of this boat is to get into the gateway through Jesus Christ into the presence of God. I mean, what do you think about God? I mean, it's important. Sometimes we're just letting our thoughts just go any. So just think about that. So then how I think is important, how I think about things. Mm-hmm. Do I think what God has to say is important? We talked about, you know, we're called to make disciples, not plant churches. But church planting just happens when you disciple. Is how do you think of people? I mean, do you think of people as sources or souls? Mm. A source for your emotional needs, your physical needs, you know, your business needs, you know, your family needs, your concept needs. Like, this is what I have a concept. I got to have four of those and three of these. That's because it's called a family. And they just kind of put, it's like, these are sources. These are not souls to you.
That's right.
I mean, if in fact you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you've never witnessed to your children about Jesus Christ, you got to ask yourself, do I even know him? Because he says, if you're ashamed of me before your children, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father in heaven. But if you do, the thing about it, if you see them as souls and not sources, then you're going to tell them about Jesus. You're going to understand they're going to stand before the throne room of God, and they're going to answer. If you see your spouse as a soul and not a source, you're going to operate the way God says in a marriage. You're not going to dishonor your husband. You're going to love your wife. You're going to be patient and long-suffering and all this kind of thing, because what's going to happen is you see them as a source, you're going to end up in the throne room of God going, you know, you didn't even love, and there's no love in you. Mm. Whatever you did to the least of these of mine, he says many people die early for wrongfully discerning the body of Christ. He says that, you know, if you're not in right relationship, in other words, you see your marriage is one way, then your prayers are hindered. So you could see a marriage. It's pretty interesting. You can see one person who's walking, you know, humbly before the Lord, just whatever, you know, and you see another person that's walking around with bitterness, resentment, all this kind of stuff. And so you see two total different spheres in that relationship. You see one person that just seems oppressed and sad and depressed, and they're saying things like, I don't hear from God. And so the person's going like, you know, God's so good, and you know, he just did this, and and it's amazing how that works. And it's like, you know what? I got to start thinking differently about people. I got to start thinking differently. Are they sources or souls? You know, I mean, you think about at work, when you're at work, do you see your boss and your employees or your fellow co-laborers in the working field, do you see them as souls or sources? And the thing about it, when you see people as a source, you can get bitter towards them. You can get angry towards them. You can praise them for meeting your source needs. At the same time, even though that they're helping you, you know, do your widgets and build your products or whatever, you never even think about them as a soul. And when they die and they send you a little invitation to come to their funeral, you're sitting there thinking that he was a great source.
Wow.
He was a great source. He showed up at the workplace and, you know, she helped out here and she helped out there, but you can't answer the soul question. When somebody comes up to you, you can't say if you know whether they're in heaven or they're in hell. You can't answer that question. Mm-hmm. You may say, oh, he was a good guy. You know, he did some great things.
Right.
And as Christians, we're called to look at people, you know, as souls. And God says, don't fear the people who can destroy the body. Fear the one that can destroy the body and the soul, right?
That's right.
That's right.
What you think, what you want, what you feel. I mean, who, God, this is so important. And when I look at America today, and from my own experiences and seeing, it's like, especially this younger generation, I mean, and the government, what they're promoting, their government's going, you know, we'll be your source. And they're even saying to kids, you know, hey, be on your parents' insurance till you're 38 or something, till you're 26. It's like, at what point are we going to quit looking to other people for sources and believe that God can bless me? He can bless my business. He can bless my wallet, and he can bless, you know, my family, and to begin to see God as a source instead of a people as a source. See, God is the source. And as long as we look to other people as the source, it's going to be difficult for us to look at them as a soul. But think about this. If we did not love people, think about it. If you didn't love them, this is what the Word of God says. He says, then you don't love God.
That's right.
Just because you had a lot of sources to do what you're doing, even a religious thing, Paul said, I could see you're very religious. That's what he said. He went into this town. He goes, man, he looked around. He goes, man, this is a religious town. Mm-hmm. You know what we'd say today? I see you got churches on every corner. You're very religious. But then he said, you know, I'm going to tell you about church buildings on every corner. Then, but let me tell you about that. And he picked one of the particular gods that didn't have a name. And he began to tell them about a true relationship with Jesus Christ. I mean, think about that. You can be very religious, but it wasn't until Paul walked into that town with the kingdom of God inside of him did they even know that all their religion was useless. Mm-hmm. And he loved them so much, he was willing to be imprisoned, shipwrecked, beheaded. I mean, that's the whole thing. It's like, did we learn to love? More when we get back from this break, but understand the question that we're going to be asked is, you know, did we love? And if we do not look at people as a soul, you know, we're going to be held accountable for that. And it's a lot easier. You find out, I've been trying to achieve these other things, and I needed sources to do that. The truth was, I just should have loved on the journey ever how it turned out, because God was directing my path. More when we get back from the break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
If you make a decision without your spouse's input, it might be a recipe for conflict. This is Focus on the Family Minute. I'm John Fuller, and wife and mom Mary Byers tells us how to avoid this predicament.
We have a policy at our house where neither of us accepts an invitation without first checking with the other person. Neither of us volunteers the other person without approval first. So I think policies are a really good way to be able to say no. Some of the policies I've heard people say, we don't answer the phone during dinner time. That's a way to create a boundary around the family. We don't buy anything that's over $100 without first talking to each other. So policies actually can simplify some of your yesing and some of your knowing.
Some great advice there, and our family has benefited from having policies in place that we've agreed about. And you can find additional insights to help your family thrive when you stop by FocusOnTheFamily.com.
Here we are. Yes, VFN TV, the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your gifts. Amazing thing, because it can't be built by human hands. Things that God does cannot be built by human hands. So make sure that you join in and just offer up at VFNTV.com and sponsor and become an underwriter today. Listen, we are shining the light, keeping the conversation light on all who want to be in the light, who listen, our audience. That's right. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, a network that God is building through your love gift. Sponsor today, partner today, become an underwriter. Go to VFNTV.com. And follow the prompt.
Silent night, holy night.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Merry Christmas to all of our viewers and listeners out there. We just pray a blessing over your family this Christmas season. We just want to just celebrate Jesus Christ and his birth. It's Christmas.
Yes.
Putting the Christ back in Christmas again. We're talking about, you know, looking at people as a source or a soul. And some people look at themselves as a source. And they'll show up and we've had these experiences over the year. These people are a real good source, for example, and they show up as a source. In other words, as their gift. But they don't understand that we all have the same walk, right? We all have to walk the same. I mean, you got to be a disciple of Jesus. I understand that you can build something, you can do something, but you're going to need to know Jesus, you know?
Oh, sure.
And so some people even see themselves as a source, not a soul. And so we have a responsibility to look at that individual and say, it is so good what you can do, but you're not what you do. You are who you are in Christ. Let me introduce you to Jesus Christ and begin to tell them that Jesus is the source of all things. I mean, everything is created by him, for him, and without him, nothing was made. And so when you think about society today, when things go dark, meaning when things turn more into the fleshly, you know, godless mindsets, you know, Romans chapter 1, you can see that all of a sudden the reason why people do that is because they found what they perceive are sources that can meet what they perceive as their needs, that they don't have to turn to God. And God, how God deals with that, he comes in and begins to deal with all these false sources that are not really doing that. It makes me think about Hosea chapter 2. You know, Hosea chapter 2, he's talking to his people. And he's going, you know, I've given you all this stuff. I've given you clothes. I've given you jewelry. I've given you food and wine and wheat and all these kind of things. But you said to me, this is God talking, you said to me that your lovers have given this to you. You said to me that your job, your boss gave it to you. You said to me that your parents gave it to you. You said to me that the work of your hands has done this. And so what he does, he says, to be able to demonstrate to his people, which I really believe we're going to see some of that real soon in the world, in America, is because God is the source, but they weren't seeing him as the source. They were seeing people and their things and the work of their hands and their lovers, whatever their lovers were, you know? And so God's a jealous God, but he's the source. So they needed to know that wooden image is not the source. That man is not the source. And so what he did was he says, I'll tell you what I'll do. To prove the fact that they're not your source. You think about this, that they're not your source. He said, I'll just turn you over to them. Mm. And you think about it. If you think that, you know, your source produces rain and God pulls away from that, you're going to have a drought in your life because you thought your source produced rain. This happened. This happened to Israel and Ahab, but their God Baal, and it wasn't that God of the weather and the stuff. I mean, it was God was the source, and so he said, okay, I'll just turn you over to them, and all of a sudden a drought comes. You know, why are we going to potentially experience financial crisis? Why are we going to experience drought? Why are we going to? Because we turn to other things other than God for sources. But look at the people. And so in Hosea, what he does is he says, then you'll find out. When your lovers don't want you no more, when all those people you thought they were going to meet your needs, that they quit or they left or, you know, they're not your source. They can't be your source. He says, then you'll turn back to me. And he says, I'll meet you in the wilderness. And he said, I'll begin to whisper in your ear and I'll begin to restore things back to you one at a time. But is he not good or not? He's so good because most people would think I'm done with you, you know, right? I'm done with you. How many times have I done this for you? And yeah, you know, it's like, that's not God. God's going like, okay, it's going to be tough. You know, and he's so upset. He's like, I don't even want to hear about your children. I don't even want to see your children born in that way. He was just so upset. Hosea chapter 2. But then he starts coming back in. He says, there's a process here of redemption. And it's going to start off with me. I mean, you think you're doing drugs now. You're going to do so much drugs, it's coming out your nose. You know, you think you're into greed and to lust and pornography and idolatry. And all. I'm just going to just dump you into it, give you over to it. So finally, it just spits you out. And then you're just left there. And this is the God that we serve. He says, how about now? Will you acknowledge me as the source of all things? The creator of the universe? The one who loves you? The one that gave his son for you? This is how good he is. And then he says, I'll begin to whisper in your ear and give and restore things a little at a time. Because you got to go like, you know, you got like a kid. You got to go, okay, here's a cookie. Say cookie. Where daddy's giving you the cookie. Daddy gave me the cookie. Right. That's almost how it has to be.
Yeah.
You know, in ministry, our responsibility is to tell people all the time, God did that. And you see people's brain shift like, I wasn't thinking about God doing that. Don't you remember where you were when he...
Explain how?
Yeah.
How did that work?
Right, right.
It was God. He does everything. You know, he's giving you the ability. It was God's favor.
Remember when you didn't have the job and you asked me to pray that God would give you a job? Yeah, but no, he gave you the job.
Yes.
He gave you the job.
That was God.
Right. And so anyway, but you're looking at today where... how many people, they're not looking for a relationship, they're looking for a source. Mm. I mean, you have this guy that's trying to find this girlfriend, and I mean, he's looking for a source. He's not looking to have a wife and to honor this lady in his life. She's looking for a source.
Well, they even say things like, that person completes me. It's like, wait a minute, you're not a half person and you're wanting someone to complete you.
I want my money back.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, and so then you're looking at, you know, how many people, you know, I've heard, you know, a minister say a statement like the way he described the members in that fellowship as giving units. Mm. Mm. And all you need is so many giving units. Like, who are you talking about? What are you saying? Are you saying there's sources or something? What are you saying? Wow. He's not. God turned him over to. He's not. Anyway, they're okay. The people are right. They have a different pastor. But listen. So, but notice the darker society gets, meaning the more it turns away from God, the more people have turned to things other than God. He talks about it in Romans chapter 7, and hopefully this is available for our partners at vfntv.com. And we have so many things available for our partners. Don't forget, it's teachings, green room specials. It's just this gratitude. Partner, any amount at all gets you access to all that and more coming. Mm-hmm. You know, is America under God's judgment? And judgment is about putting things back in order again. When you go to a judge, a righteous judge, his or her responsibility is to find out, are things out of order here? Does the law say 55 miles an hour and John was driving 75?
Mm. Really?
Or you think about it. Or, you know, Steve was just not even thinking at all. He was just, brain was shut down going down the road. But think about this. And so the judge would say, well, order is 55 miles an hour, 56 miles an hour or 65 or whatever. Is out of order. So you get a ticket for going over, being out of order on the road. You're not evil. You know, the world's not over. You just lost a lot of money. But that judge was there to put things back in order again. What if there was no judge to put things, that's called justice, you know, putting things back in order again. So it's not a bad thing when we're praying that think about it, that God's justice would come down like a mighty river and wash across this nation. And there's a reason why Dr. King was sitting here crying out in his speeches, you know, that the Lord's justice would just come over this nation, because he knew that God's justice would put things in the right order that it should have been, that all men are created equal by God. We shouldn't see justice as a negative thing, the justice of God from a righteous judge, no, not from the others.
Right.
And then what we have with that is the mercies of God. But what you see, so that you're seeing then that the darker a nation gets, the more sources it's turning to. You'll find out more distractions, more, I'm satisfied. You know, some guy divorces his wife and leaves with his computer.
Yeah. Wow.
And he says, all I want is my computer.
That was happy.
He was not an analyst. Anyway, so, you know, and it's like unashamedly, he said, I don't need her as a source anymore. I have my imagination. I have what this computer can give me. Wow. But it's the same thing with God. How many people are turning away from God, the real thing, and turning to stuff and money and these different things, and then thanking the money as if it did it? And so do we look at people? And this is what we're called to do. And this is probably one of our struggles with discipleship in the church, is because if you tell them they got to be a disciple, you'll lose your source. They'll quit giving. They'll quit showing up at your party and giving you the numbers that you want. But we're not called to get numbers. We're called to win souls. Mm. We're not called to look to people as sources. That's the greatest offense, I think, that we could do to God, because he's saying, like he said in Hosea chapter 2, I am the source. Even when he gave Abraham the promise, Isaac, he had to make sure that he understood that Isaac is not the source.
Yeah. There's some statistics from Fuller, the Bible college. In their study, they just came out and said that a church that is 10 years or older, it takes 85 people to lead one person to Christ. And if a church, a gathering, is less than 3 years old, it only takes 3 people to lead a person to Christ. It's like, what's happening?
Right, and then defining what is leading a person to Christ. And, of course, biblically that means, you know, bringing them as a disciple of Jesus Christ. Yeah. More we get back from the break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We're in this for the long haul or until they take us down. We're in this thing. We are here all the way until the Lord says no. And we're excited about it. There are so many things going to happen and unfold. Understand that God is preparing himself a people across the world and across the nation. We believe there's going to be a third great awakening. There are men and women who may have bowed the knee, who may have done these things that everybody else has done. I mean, read our testimony. God's brought us out of all this. But when God redeems you, even if you bowed your knee, he'll forgive you. And so he said that he reserved for himself prophets that have not bowed their knee. Well, we have. He's reserved for himself his son, Jesus Christ, that if we make Jesus Christ the Lord of our life, though we've sinned, though we've faltered, though we've made these mistakes and error, and the enemy seduced us or lured us or whatever, you know, whatever it is, that when you repent, God forgives you, and it's as if you never bowed your knee. So it's not about a self-righteous, hey, I've never done anything wrong. Well, you just did that wrong, because that's not true, and that's pride and can't be used. It's false humility. But understand that if, in fact, that you want to say, God, I want to be a part of what you're doing. I don't want to be on the sidelines. I want to be a player, as we talked about yesterday. I want to encourage you. Today is your day. Today is the day that you can say, you know what? I want to make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life, the Lord of my life. And I want to be forgiven. God, forgive me for everything, all my compromise, where I've bowed my knee down, where I've sinned against you and sinned against others. Restore me, cleanse me, be the Lord of my life. I'm going to begin to learn how to be your disciple and abide with you on a daily basis. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Awesome. Go to meetmyfather.org, meetmyfather.org, and find out more about how we made that very same decision. We met our God, our Father God, through his Son, Jesus Christ, and you just did too. And share your story with us. Let us know that what happened. And also go to iabide.org and learn how to abide with Jesus. You abide in him, he abides in you, and you're going to be very successful as he measures success in your life.
The VFN Torch takes VFN Radio to the next level. Listen, you can't show pictures and you can't play videos when you're listening to the radio, but we have it available for you. Take it to the next level, linking resources. As a matter of fact, when you hear about one particular article or segment that's going on at VFN Radio, there might be 4 or 5 other segments that we did over that quarter or several months that you can tie together. Why? It's available for you. It's called the VFN Torch, just like the torch that Gideon carried, the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on VFN Torch.
Listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Merry Christmas to all of our listeners and viewers out there. We're just so excited about it. I want to encourage you, take your time and get some cinnamon smells going on and some cooking this time. We have a gathering coming up. We're going to do some celebrating coming up. We're going to have a gratitude tree where we're all going to come together and they cut out all these ornaments and we'll be able to write on those what you're grateful for.
Is that awesome? I love that idea.
Isn't it?
That, I think it's great. I think every family should have one of those.
Yeah, we have 365 ornaments each.
Great. Great.
But think about it. So all of a sudden, well, that goes to Brett Holderbaum out of Denver. It was his idea.
Thanks, Brett.
And they do this. People that come to their house, what they do is when their guest comes over, they say, you know, go over there and add an ornament to our tree. And so they write down what they're grateful for. Isn't that beautiful?
That's awesome. That is just so beautiful.
Yeah, thanks,
man.
Brett. I appreciate
that.
Thank
you, Brett.
Shout out to Sharon, too, this morning. So we're talking about, you know, sources. And you think about God gave a promise to Abraham. He says, I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to bless you. And he looked to himself first as a source. And his wife looked to him as a source. Remember Sarah and Abraham. Hagar. They try to make it happen. And that's what happens. That's what happens with when we look to, you know, we create issues in our life that we have to, I mean, God has to, you know.
Help us with.
Help us with, right? Right,
right. I did it again.
Yeah. And so makes you move a lot slower as you get older. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But when he gave him the promise, when he finally gave him the promise, his own body couldn't be a source. When God waited to the point when he was going to birth a people of faith and his chosen people on the face of the earth, I mean, he laid them out when he made a covenant with them where he couldn't be involved in it. But also, he waited till his ability to be a source was gone. Based on the fact that his body was as good as dead, his ability to reproduce, to have another child, the very thing that God expected of him, God made sure he waited to a point that he couldn't do what God expected from him. And then his wife couldn't be a source because she was, what, 90 years old? Or
100 old.
Yeah, she's nice looking, though, because everybody wanted her.
Yeah.
The kings and all. And so then God says, okay, now I'm going to give you this promise. And so he has this son, Isaac. It was such a big deal. They laughed. And it's like, but God was going, he was making sure they understood, okay, see, you can't, you're not, I am. Mm. You can't, you're not, I am. That's what he's saying all the time. And when we mess it up, we try to start saying, I will, and I can, and we forget about God. And that's what a lot of America's doing, is we got to turn back to the I am. And so he gives him this promise, but then he does this to make sure he gets it. He says, to make sure you know that I'm the one that gave this to you, you're going to have to lay it down. You're going to have to lay him down on the altar in Genesis 22. You know, you can read about it, but God tells him, okay, I want you to take my source, what I've given you, the job, the money. I mean, think about it. If you can't even tithe on your paycheck, I mean, think about it. You can't even, he gives you the whole paycheck. You cannot take the first increase part of that and just give it to God. I mean, you're looking at your job as the source. You're looking at you're the source. And according to George Barna, 97% of regular church attenders that go at least once every 2 weeks, it's exactly only 3% even believe that God's the source in that area of that. And so then he says, I want you to take the promise, the source, the thing that I've given you, the son that I've given you, I want you to put him on this mountain, top of Mount Moriah, and he says, I want you to kill him. I want you to just give him to me. I want you to just offer him to me, which would make no sense. If you think he's the source, if you think Isaac's the source, the promise is the source, the ministry, the job, the marriage, the family, you know, giving things up, if you think that's the source, it makes no sense. But God is the source. God is the source. Do you look at people as a source or a soul? So he walks up and he's willing to sacrifice his own son on top of Mount Moriah, by the way, which is where in 1967 when they said the statement that the Temple Mount is in our hands, that's where this was happening, right there. On that area right there where God was showing himself that I am the source. And so he goes to sacrifice his son, and all of a sudden God goes, now stop. Now I see that you understand I'm the source. Mm-hmm. Now I see that you fear me. You acknowledge that I am the one. I'm going to provide for you an alternative, a source, a sacrifice. And all of a sudden he looked, and God had in the thicket of the bushes there, a ram was there. And so he sacrificed the ram instead. And that mountain, this is where God showed himself as Jehovah Jireh, my provider. God is our source. He really, that's why you don't have to worry about what men think about you. You got to worry about what God thinks about you and what you think about God. That's why you don't have to worry if people won't be your source for this. They're not your source. God will cause men who hate you to give into your bosom because he loves you and you love them. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, God will bless you. I mean, he is the source for all things. The question is, do we acknowledge him? Acts chapter 2 says he picks the time and the seasons that we would live, even our address almost, just to see if we would reach out and touch him, though he's not far from us, that we realize that he's the source.
Wow.
And that very place right now, that, you know, 57 years ago today, approximately 1967, Six-Day War in Israel. 47 years ago today, is that that was the area. And right now we have an opportunity as the church to do what Abraham did, and we can lay it all down. And lay it all down on Mount Moriah. And we could just say, you know what, God? I'll let it all go. I'll let it all go. You truly, I just trust you. I totally trust you. And say, you know what? I'm going to look at people as the souls that they are. That their soul matters. A child's soul matters. A man's soul matters. A woman's soul matters. Whether they're wealthy or whether they're poor. Whether they're American or Mexican or Israeli or Indian or Iraqi. I mean, whatever. Whether they're Chinese. They matter. And how many people today are thinking about economically, which means source-wise, towards other nations, instead of saying, how do I get there and win their souls to God? How do I go out as a missionary? How do I get sent into the mission field? How do I obey the commands of God to go into all the world? We got to quit looking at people as sources and start looking at them as souls. I mean, how many people aren't going because they go, I don't have enough sources to go? Mm-hmm. But what happens if God's told you to do it and you go, you'll have exactly what you need to do, what God's called you, not what you think you need to do, what you wanted to do, but you'll have exactly what you need to do, what God wanted you to do. Like the leader of Christ for YWAM, Youth for the Mission, he says, I can guarantee you this. I can get you into any country you want to go. Guaranteed. But I cannot guarantee I can get you out, but I can get you into any country you want to go. And it's like, are we not guilty of looking at, think about the economic shifts that are going on. And some people, when you read Thomas Friedman's book about the world is flat, and now you're looking at the fulfillment of that, where you're looking at business going to the Asia continent, and you're looking at India and China taking industry on in Japan. Well, if you're looking at source instead of soul, you may think of it as a negative thing. But if you're looking at it as souls, like, this is a great opportunity now. Absolutely. To begin to be global Christians and understand we have more opportunity to win more souls and influence more souls for people. Somebody says, well, this is going to cause us to lose our job if more Mexicans come into Americans' jobs. And it's like, that's a source comment versus a soul comment.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? If you're thinking like, you know, well, our neighborhood, our property value is going to go down. That is a source view of individuals, not a soul view of individuals. Here are comments that are going on. We have yet to comment, but there's comments going on in our nation right now about certain things. And people are making comments, and they're making source comments, not soul comments. They don't understand that this person or that person, that they're a soul that God loves. And you got to really pause and think. Don't just think about your business. Think about the soul that just died. Think about the souls that will be influenced because of what's going on. And we're going to have that conversation, but we began it, you know, a year and a half, 2 years ago prophetically, yeah. And now the nation's having this conversation because the church wouldn't. Mm-hmm. But I just want to encourage you today. When you start looking at people as souls, you'll think it'd be so much easier to love your husband, to love your wife, to love your children, to be patient with them. Because think about it. If you don't, you could cost them their soul. I mean, you could cost them their soul. If you, even though that you're a boss, that you're a boss. I mean, think about this. At work, you're at work, and you're just saying to yourself, I'm just going to go do my job. This is the source for my income. This is where I work. What happens is you treat everybody badly, especially if you don't get the raise, if you don't get the promotion, because you're all looking at sources. Versus like, I'm here because there's souls here. There's people here who God loves, and he wants me to be able to love on them, to minister to them, to meet their needs, to serve them, to be, you know, as we talked about in an earlier program, like a Mike Berry down in the Gulf Coast, and just love people. Look at Jesus, what he did. I mean, he saw us all and sees us all, but when he walked on the earth, he saw everybody as the soul that we are. I mean, he didn't see, he wasn't worried about money. He's like, go down to the fish and pull it out of its mouth. You know, I mean, don't worry about that. That's not the issue.
Yeah.
You give to Caesar's what's Caesar's. He wasn't worried. He knew that the Father was the source. Even when Pilate said, don't you understand I am the source of the one, the authority that will let you go? Mm. And Jesus said, you're not the source of that. The only authority you have came from the source of authority himself, my Father in heaven. And it's exciting because then you're empowered going like, wait a minute. If everybody hates me, but I still look at them as a soul and love on them the best I can, even though they slap me in one cheek, I turn them the other cheek. Even though they ask me to go 1 mile, go to 2 miles. Even though they curse me, condemn me, and criticize me, and I still love them, I still try to win them, I'm doing the right thing in the eyes of God. And yeah. Eternity would be when we're standing in the throne room of God, like Bob Jones did when he had this death experience. He was transported basically to before the throne of God, and 98% he said the people that were there at the not at God's throne, they're going to a totally different place of judgment, but only like 2% were standing before the throne room of God. And this is what God said: did you learn how to love? And if you see people as sources, if you see people as sources, you don't understand how to love yet. When you understand God is your source, he is the provider, he'll take care of you. He's Jehovah Jireh. You understand that, then you can love people no matter what they're doing. It's not conditional. And you'll love them where they are on the way to where God's taking them. That's what God's called us to do. This is what he said. We're going to go to break. He said, a new commandment that I give you. This is what Jesus said. A brand new one. Love each other. By this, they will know you are my disciples if you love each other.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I remember, do you remember the time that we were, you know, taking all these mentors and the fatherless and whatever out to the wilderness, and we were raising money? You remember that? I don't know if I have time to talk about this. I might not have time to talk about it. And one of us came up with an idea that said, you know, we need to have a raffle. We need to have a raffle. And, you know, we'll raffle off something that, you know, something that Americans might like, yeah. A TV.
Wasn't that John's idea?
Oh, that's right. That's right. It was John's. I'm sure it was John's. Mute his mic. It was John's.
Yeah.
And I said, but listen, if we're going to do this, John, I said, if we're going to do this, this is a raffle. It is not a lottery. You know, it is not a lottery. And I said over and over, this is not a lottery. This is, we're just going to, you know, a dollar for a ticket or whatever. You get a chance to win a big screen TV or something like that we had. Mm-hmm. And in that, here we were on TV. We were on TV. And I sat there and they said, well, tell us what's going on. And I said, well, we're having a lottery. Oh man, God had me eat so much crow. A lottery. I said, we're having a lottery. That is so funny, you know, that, you know, you can, you know, it was just.
How many shades of color did you turn?
I was dumbfounded, you know, and obviously God was dealing with me about, you know, it's a shame that you have to go to a raffle to do what the church should have done all along. Remember that? Because we were paying for our entire community to come to God. And the concept of going into the wilderness and responding to the prophetic word. But that was hilarious. I'm like, this is not a lottery. And here I was on TV. What did I say? We're doing a lottery.
Oh, come,
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, welcome back. Merry Christmas to all of our listeners out there. It's just exciting about this. I just wanted to be so Christmassy this year, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Got our lit up Mary Joseph up. Yeah, we do. I love
it's
it.
Yeah,
got a deer. Got a deer, and
don't do that. Yeah, I like that. Every year, there's looks good up front. Yeah. I've noticed that.
Maybe, Joseph's a little bent over because of a storm that we got.
It went down. Fix Joseph.
Yeah, he's been anyway. So, just think about just take pause because it'll be over. I mean, it'll be 2015 in a couple hours. Pause to think about every day. How can I celebrate the birth of Christ? What can I do? You know, we got 12 days of Christmas coming up. We're excited about that. Just to be able to think about every single day, how can we focus more? And I think about, live manger scenes, around Pat, where Pat lives. We could just do a couple of those.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No doubt.
And just thinking, what you can do to just focus on not necessarily the shopping and the mobs that are going on and even the imperfections of Christmas. I mean, the food, the turkey doesn't turn out right. The cookies burnt. People didn't. There was a day when you took a picture, you were stuck with it. I mean, that was it.
Oh, yeah.
The day they take, no, just try it again. Let's try it again. Let's try it again. It's like, just, let me see it. Oh, let's take it again.
Yeah.
And I mean, you
before
had these,
it was film. I mean, that was it.
You had these goofy pictures. You had flashes that were so hot. They were so hot that if you touched them when they went off, you'd need surgery. I mean, it was bad.
Mm.
Yeah. The, okay. It was gunpowder that it would just light.
Okay,
go,
wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Do tell.
It was old. It was definitely old. And then the Polaroid came out that would spit the little picture out the front. That was like cutting edge technology. And today, there's not pictures being printed at all. Well, I just want to just as a light moment right here, there is this young boy, an NFL football player that was doing a conference, and it was his young son. I want to be able to see this whole video. He's talking. He's, I guess see this thing. And this, he calls his son up because, after a while, it's just like, hey, this is sports and this is football. Right. We know you got a great vision. You're a good quarterback and all this kind of stuff. But you got to see him call his son up. Take a look at this.
Okay. Brady, turn around real fast. That's my son, Brady. Say hi, Brady. Okay. This is my son, Tate. Say hi, Tatey. Okay. And then that's their friend, Dylan. Say hi, Dylan. Okay. And then, let's see, Brady, I'm going to put you on the spot here, buddy. Okay? Brian, maybe you could give, you have a calculator on your phone?
What's that?
Do you have a calculator on your phone? All right. Brady, come here. All right, Brian, I want you to give, you stand right here, okay? I want you to give Brady two numbers with from 90 to 99 in there, and he's going to multiply them together for you. Two 90 numbers.
All right. You ready? 93.
97.
9,021, Brian. Can you look at your calculator, please? Does that say 9,021? Boom!
Boom! That is Ryan Fitzpatrick of the Texans and his son, Brady. I mean, you saw in an earlier program, we asked Pat to figure out how many years this is, 1967.
Yeah. Oh, no.
You got to call Fitzpatrick's
call
son to figure that out, right?
Call Brady.
Yeah, I noticed you didn't answer the question.
I didn't want to show off like that. I wouldn't give you the opportunity.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
And that's so cool. Can you imagine? I wonder why you picked was it the 90s?
I don't know.
Why not the 40s or something like that? It's amazing.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That was not me in school.
No.
That was not me in school.
Sorry.
That was not me. So,
really,
I remember they give you those timetable things. They go, "What you memorize this? Memorize that? Oh my goodness!
Well, you should see how I just make them do it now. It's ridiculous.
How do they do it?
I don't know. It doesn't make any sense.
The new math.
It's always called the new math. Isn't that amazing? It was called the new math when we were doing it. That's what older folks say about not forgetting how to do math. We go, that's new math.
Yeah, you know this is new math when your son asks you for help and you help him out. Say, son,
in your English, if your son asks you, that would definitely don't help him out with his grammar.
He asked me a question.
Yes.
Okay, he asked me a question.
Yes.
And so I was helping him. And you know it's pretty bad when you score 54. I'm like, sorry, son. No longer
you
score
54.
You got a better grade. You got a better grade than I did. Ask your mother next time. Don't ask me.
I'm failing, Dad.
We can't do this. We can't do this together.
Isn't there computer programs to help you out or something?
Oh my goodness, man!
You should have Googled it, man.
We did. I mean, it was difficult.
Still got it wrong.
It was difficult, bro. It was difficult.
Oh wow.
Wow. Pray for John and his family.
Yeah.
His boys are very, very smart. Very, very smart. Businessmen. Men of God. Involved in Trail Life. By the way, if you have not yet started Trail Life in your community, in your church, with your ministry, now's the time. Go to traillifeusa.org. God has heard the cries of our heart, and there is thousands of troops coming on into a 12 to 16 month time frame since its launch, where it's kind of almost like the Boy Scouts of the future. You know what I'm saying? It's called traillifeusa.org, and you can start your own charter in your own church. And we definitely want to have others, you know, in our regions of our churches as well, because what I see is what we did, you know, for 10 years with the Next Step Outback Father and Son camping trips is now we're going to be able to take the whole communities throughout the nation to these big, huge events, because God is blessing Trail Life with all types of properties in North Carolina and Denver. And mm-hmm. Too bad we don't have the energy we used to have. We'll just live vicariously through them and go, look at the climbing.
Wow, yeah.
Well, we did. This is, I cannot believe that. It was just so sad.
What was that? What?
Well, Pat and I were going up a river.
Oh, wow.
In
one of those.
In California, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was just so cool. This is a very cool moment, but it didn't get captured. And I was lighter then. In our heads, it was good.
Yeah.
And he was heavier. And so the
I was.
And so we're going down on rafts in this river, and they have television cameras there, you know, capturing things that's going on. And We told the camera guy or whatever, he's like, you know, catch this, because we could sit up on the back of our raft in this river, and we did a backflip.
Really?
We did a backflip in the air, and it landed in the water. It's
perfect.
I was so angry.
Were
the cameraman was drowning. He fell in the water.
He fell out of his raft.
In the water, and I was like, God help my heart, because we had him in this van going back, and I'm looking at him going, like, I have compassion for you, but you could have at least held the camera.
Yeah, no doubt.
He fell in the water with the camera.
With the camera.
Yes. He did not get that, but it's just between me and Pat. We know that happened. Didn't that happen?
Yes, it happened.
And it was probably better in our minds.
Oh, yeah.
Or slow motion, it would have been good. You know, like real slow. But we do have a picture of you. We got to bring that up. Of you doing that airbag thing.
It's a video. I think we have a video of that.
Yeah,
I laughed so hard. You probably could hear
me all the way to
the East Coast. As a matter of fact, make sure we have that available.
Yeah, you know, we'll probably make that related.
We need
the
some
torch.
Light moments.
Yes.
I think I lost that. Yeah.
Do we? Everybody's going, yes, let's do that. Do y'all want it? Let us know. Blast us on Facebook. Hit us on Twitter. Email us. We're going to hear him scream for his life, right?
Well, he's wailing.
What is that called? The airbag?
No idea.
No idea. Anyway, he goes,
It's called Pat flying 20 feet in the air.
Yeah, God bless. Merry Christmas to you, and we'll see you next program.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. We'll be right back.
Goodness, listen. What the Lord is doing. If you missed, and you've got to catch it in regards to Ezekiel 30, make sure you get a chance to go and listen to it. EzekielTV.com, get the podcast. Okay. Got a big shout out to all the podcast listeners out there, because that's kind of how we are. We're like so mobile, and we're moving so quickly. You need to listen to it when you listen to it. And you need to listen to what you need to listen to. And you can do that by downloading our podcast. Go to VFNTV.com, click on the podcast, and you get whatever format that you need. What happens, it just gets downloaded in your stuff somehow, and you can play it like you play a record.
Don't forget, we have four programs.
No, CD. That's right, a CD.
24/7.
Download, I guess. And you can play, and this is really cool, because then you have it. Think about this.
Light and understand, you
remember all the years. Yeah, buy the tape. We're giving it to you. It's yours. Have it free.
Freely,
the Lord's given it to us. We give it to you. Go to VFNTV.com and download the podcast today.
Shine the light of God's word on what's happening in our education and go, you know what? We can be inspired by God's word, you know, by illuminating what's happening with God's word. And then it can inspire us to know, you know, wow, and there's an answer for this. But most of all, after all of that, all we have at this point is a pep rally unless it activates you. And our desire is to activate you in your marriage and your family and your workplace and your ministry and your church gathering, wherever. It's just activate you to be what everything God's called you to be. And that's our goal. That's our goal on VFN Radio and VFN TV and the Christian Television Network.